Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's Call Your Shot Friday on a snowy day here in Cleveland. The Browns, 2 days away from taking on the Houston Texans as they look to get to 7-3 on this young season in the first 10 games. And it's going to take a strong effort against a team that's got a lot of very good players. Arian Foster, J.J. Watt, maybe we'll see Jadeveon Clowney. But it's a Texans team starting Ryan Mallett for the first time in his NFL career. Today we're going to have sound bites from Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, from last night's show. That's coming up at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. At 2 p.m. Eastern, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, a man who knows the NFL very well and a man who knows this Houston Texans team as well as anybody in the National Football League. We'll have the Friday forecast with the kid at 2:30. Matt Wilhelm and I will pick the NFL games this weekend at 2:45. And I think we need to change up how we pick the games, because I think the way we've been doing it before, we basically end up tied and we basically end up getting like 13 right a week every week.
Yes.
We got to go with the spreads.
That's
fine. We'll just pick them.
Deal.
Pick them with the spreads.
Deal.
So we'll do that. We don't condone gambling. That's not what we're saying at all. I'm just saying as a way to differentiate. Otherwise, it's too obvious to just pick the winners.
So easy, man.
It has been.
You got me.
We do want to hear from you as well. It is a Call Your Shot Friday, so this show is all about you. We want to know what you think will happen this Sunday at First Energy Stadium and why. The Browns beat the Texans, if what? What concerns you the most headed into this game? How good are you feeling? Where's your confidence level at with this Cleveland Browns football team? And I'll tell you what, last night after doing the Mike Pettine show, we were on remote out there in Parma. Joel Bitonio was out there with us, and just talking to the coach, talking to Joel Bitonio, you know, this is a great locker room. And Joel Bitonio said, I can't tell you how many players have told me that as a rookie, how lucky I am to be in such a good locker room that's so cohesive, so positive, and has such great leadership. And we're talking about people, you know, comparing it to other locker rooms of teams that were quote unquote successful. And we're talking about people who have been to Super Bowls saying this to Joel Bitonio, that this locker room has a better vibe, and this team has a better vibe in terms of the locker room and the coach-player relationship that they've experienced. And I think that's one of the reasons why this team has been able to gel so quickly.
I agree, and I think that the positivity in a locker room like that, because the most cohesive units in most cases means that these guys are friends. They care about each other. They actually like each other. And there's been a few places, and it's not locker room full of them, but there's a few guys that are of the mindset, even still we're playing a that are playing a game for a living, that go, you know, I just work with so-and-so, as opposed to like, that's my teammate, that's my friend. And in some cases, that doesn't mean, and again, I'm just naming names. I'm not saying they're friends or they're not, but like, that doesn't mean like Joe Thomas, you know, and Barkevious Mingo are not, they might not be friends and hang out, you know, a lot, but they're acquaintances simply because they're on the same team and they're both positive around each other. They're not awkward when they're around each other. And that positivity, you know, bodes for a work atmosphere that keeps you yearning for more, yearning for growth. And I think that's a part of the culture change that has happened here, because there's been so much miscommunication from the top down here in years past, that, you know, ownership is not cohesive with management. Management is not cohesive with the coaching staff. Coaching staff is not always cohesive or honest sometimes with the players. And the last thing you want, the product that you put on the field each and every Sunday, to be questioning their leaders. And that is not even, you know, fathomable in this locker room because of the atmosphere that they have. And also, too, as you said, with, you know, in speaking to Joel Bitonio, it's like to walk into the locker room and win. You know, he doesn't know anything else. A lot like me, to come in and be a part of this show, I'm dealing, and my knowledge is of, yes, a little bit of Brown's past, but it's of what we're doing now.
Good timing.
And this 6-3 football team.
Timing.
That's right. Yes, it is. And it's fun.
When you were in San Diego, you know, compare the locker rooms that you're in San Diego, teams that did very well, ultimately didn't get where you all wanted to go. You know, the locker room in San Francisco, the locker room in Green Bay. How different is it across the teams? And did you find a certain formula was the most likely to lead to success in a locker room?
The most relative locker room that I was a part of that is very similar to this is when we made a transition very quickly from 4-12 to 12-4, which is kind of what the Cleveland Browns are on the cusp of doing. Maybe not a 12-win football team, but 10 or 11, but very far and away above 500. And you know what it was? It was the changes of a few coaches, not the head coach, but it was the changes of a few coaches, assistant coaches, and I've said it earlier, it was Wade Phillips, who kind of like simmered Marty Schottenheimer and brought him down to be much more of a player's coach than a dictator, you know, who expected you to, you know, bang skulls each and every day at practice. Wade Phillips was a little bit more about preservation and, you know, and taking the players and their thoughts and the leaders on this team and the veterans on that team and take their voice and apply it to how in which we move forward as a business and as a team. But then also, too, very similar to what we've done here is we added some veterans, Keenan McCardell, you know, Randall Godfrey, who played extremely well with the Dallas Cowboys and Tennessee Titans. You know, he finished his career in San Diego. Adding a few of those guys, and it just changes the locker room as opposed to being a young, wandering, trying to figure it out football team. You know, they set precedence of, well, when I was here and we went to the playoffs, or when I was here and we won 10 games, or when I was here and we did this, they make it very relevant for a young player to buy in. Well, it worked for him then. Let me follow his lead and let's do that now, because that sounds like fun, or that sounds like a lot of success, or sounds like something I want to be a part of.
And do you think overall, because it is basically a team that's got to play as more than a collection of individuals, that kind of chemistry matters? I know teams can be successful and win. I've heard, as things have come out about that Seattle locker room last year, that was not a very lovey-dovey, friendly locker room, but business came and they handled it on the field, winning the Super Bowl. But do you think if you're going to be successful over time, the culture of the locker room is critically important to the team?
Most definitely. And I think the other great thing that I point a finger at as why they're so cohesive is their star players are humble still, because Joe Hayden didn't start this season off extremely well. He's now playing as of late, and he's got a swag back. He's, you know, he's hitting.
He's just a good guy. He's just a nice guy.
Exactly. Whereas a lot of those kinks in the armor of football teams, even the great teams, are the egos associated with their star players. I've been a part of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, very humble guy. Phillip Rivers, very humble guy. You know, and I can't speak for other guys and say other quarterbacks, they're not humble, but sometimes there's personalities. And also, too, in today's world with social media as rampant as it is, guys' brands and what they do off the field in businesses and marketing and where they go and how much money they're paid for take precedence over why they have those opportunities, which is their ability to play the game of football on Sundays.
No question. And the Browns have, when you think about the leaders of the Browns, Dante Whitner, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, Carlos Dansby, Brian Hoyer, there aren't a lot of flashy look at me type of guys on this team.
And maybe in the city of Cleveland, but not nationally.
Right, and there's no diva on this team.
Correct.
And I think that certainly helps. And the reason why I think that's important ultimately is I think that this team, because of that, you'll be able to withstand the natural ups and downs of a season. You can't just go out and win every single game. You have to be able to handle the hardship. And when you're a team that has a lot of tension in that locker room, I would imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that when things start to go bad, all of a sudden it's finger pointing and it's very divisive.
Correct. And I think I might have talked about, well, it was you, it might have been even Reguy while he sat in for you the other day, but I talked about some of that could potentially happen on this football team in the running backs locker room, you know, and the reason I say it is because I do believe all of them will have their heyday when it comes to this football season. All of them will contribute to the success or demise of this football team as we move forward. But I think if one of them, you know, fumbles a ball in crunch time or doesn't get the fourth and one that we need to win a football game or to put ourselves in an opportunity to win a huge football game late in this season, you could potentially see, well, if I was in the game, I would have, you know, and that could happen. But that's the only inkling I have within this locker room because of some of the comments of the players. But otherwise, everyone gets along. I think Coach Mike Pettine has set up, you know, the hierarchy of and the structure of this football team extremely well. And unbeknownst to Greg Little, he is a communicator. He's a communicator to the media. He's a communicator to the other coaches. And he's open and listens. And he's a communicator to the rest of the locker room, which is huge from a player standpoint.
It is huge. And I'll tell you, when we talk about, and hear from Mike Pettine at 1:30. He talks about not only is this a cohesive locker room, it's a very cohesive coaching staff. They love each other. They love working together. And he knows that in other stops, that wasn't the case. If you read the collision low crossers, you know that there was a serious divide. It was almost like two sets of coaching staffs, the defensive and the offensive. And that's not been the case here. And I think it's easy to focus on those type of things when things are going well. But also, I think it will ultimately end up helping this team and serving them well when they face a little adversity over these final games. When the pressure gets ratcheted up, this will be a lot for the Browns to deal with. And we'll certainly get to that. As I said, it is a Call Your Shot Friday, 216-578-0850. Call us up. Let us know. How do you think this game goes on Sunday? Are you going? Are you going to get there early? Are you going to get there and be loud? What concerns you the most? How do you see this game play it out ultimately for the Browns? Let us know. 216-578-0850. When we come back, I will give you the latest on the injuries for the Cleveland Browns. Some big news coming out of Mike Pettine's press conference. We'll have that for you right after this.